Welcome to Mondays with Miles. Dr. Brand likes answering questions on our podcast, and today we have some from Brian Sikowski, who runs In the Bleachers, which is a blog that you can find at www.inthebleachers.net. We're going to get right into the questions, Dr. Brand.
Okay.
The first one. There have been plenty of rumors that USC has been walking a fine line between legal and illegal recruiting practices. How hard is it for the NCAA to police schools during the recruiting process?
You know, USC has been very successful in recent years, and it's not surprising that others would ask questions about it. That's what you always do with the person on the team on top of the hill. So let's be a little careful about jumping to conclusions.
Right.
And take some of these queries with a grain of salt. Having said that, when we find out about any potential breaks in our rules, protocols, not even to mention legal or illegal issues, the fact of the matter is we do investigate. We contact the school. We follow the sources. We're very good at that. Now, we don't make it public because we try and do this in a way that allows us to maximize the information we'll get. And sometimes by going public too early, what happens is you really hinder your ability to talk to sources. We don't have subpoena power, so we have to be very careful in the way in which we get our information and look at these issues. But you bet we look at it whenever we get any information. And I don't care what school it is, the one on the top or the one on the bottom.
Well, sometimes the media and the public are critical of how long it takes for these investigations. But it doesn't really take that long when you think about it, does it?
It doesn't take as long as a court case, for example. Right. But also, you know, we have a role to play, but so do the schools. And there are certain steps in the process. We've cut the time in the last couple of years by over a half. You know, so we've moved to a much quicker time frame. But we can't do it too quickly because we have to solicit that information and get it right. But the fact of the matter, the schools need some time to also prepare. So we've doubled our enforcement staff in the last several years, so we are working hard at it.
Along the same lines, Brian's second question asks, when there is a violation reported, what procedure does the NCAA follow to determine whether or not the claim is valid?
Well, we'll pursue it both with the school, with the witness, do investigation. We have some very good investigators, professionals. These are not people just out of law school. We've got some very senior professionals who've been doing this through their lives. Not necessarily for the NCAA. We hire people who've been in the district attorney's office. We hired a person, for example, to be one of our directors, who is the head of IPS, the Indianapolis Police Force, internal investigations.
Wow.
For 15 years. So we're getting very experienced hands at this now. Just because we're doing an investigation, and again, we never publicly say we are until we know where we're going with it, it doesn't mean we'll find something. A lot of times people want to attack another program, another school, and claim there's something wrong, and we don't find it.
How many of the claims actually are valid? What are the percentages like?
Gee, I don't know the answer to that. It's a good question, yeah. But we get a lot of false information.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that. I think that's interesting. The third question from Brian. He writes, there is a lot of pressure not only for the recruits, but for the coaches during the recruiting season. Coaches will place a lot of pressure to have a recruit verbally commit to their school while they are on a visit, even if the recruit is not ready to make such a commitment. Other coaches will continue to recruit players even after they have verbally committed to a certain school. Do you think that an early signing period in August could alleviate some of the pressure not only on the players but on the coaches because they will have a better idea of their class makeup?
You know, that's a very interesting question. I know it's under consideration by the membership. I think there are a lot of pros to that. I'm not sure if it's the right thing to do, but it certainly is worth serious consideration. I think it would take some of the pressure off the young men in the case of football and as well as basketball. I'm not sure the coaches will like it. Will it give them enough opportunity, I think, to make their best case? So it's under consideration. It's a good idea. It's worth serious debate.
That's a two-sided issue. Moving it up to August, then you miss some of the high school action that you're trying to see kids play out on the recruiting trail. So it's got two sides to it.
It has two sides to it. You know, one question you didn't ask, though, is related to this, and those are verbal commitments. And they're verbal commitments. We're dealing with 17, 18-year-olds, and they change their minds. And this is an important decision for them. Could be the most important decision they've ever made in their lives, and they can vacillate on it. So I'm not so happy about verbal commitments. I'm not sure what weight they carry, and they, in some cases, don't stop the recruiting process.
Well, that's Very good point. Well, thank you for answering these questions. Thank you, Brian, for submitting them. And our listeners, keep on sending those questions in. We will address them here on Mondays with Miles. Thanks, Dr. Brandt.
You bet.